listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. cbf.com.au.
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. Now, we're going to do, I believe it'll be quite a serious interview in the next hour, but look, I don't want you to turn off when you hear the subject, because you hear cancer and a lot of people sort of just don't want to talk about it, but it's not going to be like that. It's going to be a very uplifting show, and we're going to be talking about various options. So please stick with us, because my absolute pleasure to have Kirsten with from the Breast Cancer Network of Australia. Welcome, Kirsten.
Hi, it's great to be with you all.
It's great to have you along too. Kirsten, I guess there's a few things we want to cover, and we won't try and do them all in the 5 minutes because we've got the hour. I guess during COVID, well, I don't know, but I'm only guessing that during COVID, I know a lot of guys didn't go and get their checkups that they should have got done. Did that happen the same with breast cancer?
Sadly, it did. We saw in the first lockdown that breast screen was forced to close just because of the uncertainty of what was going on. But then what we saw as breast screen reopened, we really saw women and men deprioritising their own health. And, you know, there was quite the messages were stay home. But actually, yep. What we didn't want was people to stay home who might see a change in their breast. And I think it is important for everyone to know that, yes, the majority of people that get breast cancer are women. We've got more than 20,000 women who'll be diagnosed this year. But there are 174 men each year that get breast cancer. So for the blokes out there, make sure that if you see any changes as well, that you're going to see your GP. But really now our messages to the community is about prioritising your own health, whether it be breast health or any other kind of health. If something doesn't feel right, we need people to reach out and to go in and see their GPs. Or if you get a letter in the mail from Breast Screen Victoria, we want you to go in and have your screening programs done.
Because one of the problems is that just because you're doing nothing about it doesn't mean that the cancer still keeps on growing, does it? It's not going to stop.
That's right. And I think the other myth that kind of happens is people think that breast cancer is just a lump. But actually, breast cancer can show symptoms in different ways. So it might be a rash, it might be dimpling, it might be some redness or soreness. And so really what we want people to do is if anything doesn't feel right, doesn't look right, then we want you to go and see your GP. And for those people who are over 40, we want you to go in to Breast Screen Victoria and have your mammogram every 2 years. Because we know with breast cancer, the earlier we can pick it up, the better your outcomes will be.
So, well, that you've actually knocked me on the floor a bit. So it's not necessary that the lady should be looking for a lump. It can manifest in other ways.
It can, and I think that throws people, and often yeah. People will see a change in the shower or when they're looking in the mirror and think, oh, I'll put that off and see if it's still there in a month. But we really want people to, if they feel any change or see any change, to go and go and see their GP. And if you're a partner and you feel something that's not quite right with your partner, then we want you to encourage them to go and see someone as well.
Well, it's not even if when they're doing things that they could feel a lump. It's also, I've always believed, because I've got four daughters and a wife, it's also the partner's almost duty to make sure that it happens, because they're the ones who are going to lose out just as much as if the partner passes away, aren't they?
Exactly. In Australia, if we can get your breast cancer early, and that is, you know, stage one or two, then you will have a 95% rate of us being able to remove and treat the cancer and for you to go through your treatment, but then go on and back into the community life. But if we don't get it early enough, that's when we start to see more problems where the breast cancer can move outside of the breast in what's called metastatic breast cancer. And we want to reduce that as much as we can.
So if it's caught while it's still in the breast, then and taken out, then it's not going to go anywhere else into other glands and that, is it?
That's right. So when you are diagnosed, they will test to see whether there is actually any small cancer cells that may have gone to your lymphatic system, so under your arm. And as long as we can get that and make sure that we keep it as contained, then your outcomes are actually pretty good here in Australia.
Kirsten, can I just ask you this? Because there's a lump there, that doesn't necessarily mean it's cancer, does it?
No, that's right. And many people will perhaps get a breast screen and be called back to a clinic for further investigation. And for the vast majority of people, that won't mean breast cancer. But what we want to do is make sure that we investigate anything, any symptoms, quickly and early so we can get good treatment. And I do really want to reiterate to people who are under 50, often don't think that they can get breast cancer. But in fact, we know that many age groups can get breast cancer. So any changes, it's really important to see someone. And I think we all know our bodies so much better than any other medical person can. So if we feel like something's wrong, then push to make sure that it's all investigated and so we can cancel out cancer as quickly as possible.
Because I think Delta Goodrum got it. She was under 21, wasn't she, if I remember? Or she was a very young lady.
Yeah, so she had a blood cancer and that too can really impact people who are younger. But, you know, we have people in our network who are in their 20s who've been diagnosed, and quite often they'll tell us that their experience is that they're quite often dismissed when they go and see a GP. And saying, oh, it won't be breast cancer because you're too young, but in actual fact could go on to have breast cancer. And so it's really important. We know our bodies, love your body, prioritise your own health and your own body and make sure that you get everything investigated. Because it's better to be safe than sorry.
No, because you are important. Kirsten, I've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Great.
Everyone knows Australia has four big banks. But the fifth biggest retail bank is snapping at their heels. It's a bank that's been around for over 160 years, has over 500 branches nationwide, looks after over 1.6 million customers, and was regularly voted one of the most trusted brands in Australia in the 2018 Roy Morgan All Brand Net Trust Score surveys. Who is this fantastic number five? Yep, it's Bendigo Bank. The Better Big Bank. Station sponsor.
Choice Tunes, every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 2 p.m. with Alan Collier introducing a special guest each show where they reveal their selection of favourite tracks. Tune in to discover what music influenced their lives. Only on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
I like the sound of that.
Come on and take a my hand. Show you the way to a brand new love affair that's gonna last forever and a day. Come on and take my hand.
Come on and take my hand.
And tell me I'm your sweetheart.
I'm your sweetheart.
Come on and take my hand.
Come on and take my hand.
And tell me I'm your sweetheart.
Tell me I'm your sweetheart.
Come on and take my hand.
Come on and take my hand.
And tell me I'm your sweetheart.
Tell me I'm your sweetheart.
I'm gonna show you the way.
Forever and a day, forever and a day. I'm gonna show you the way to a brand
Australia FM 99.1.
And welcome back to Community Connections. And I'm talking to Kirsten from the Breast Cancer Network of Australia. And Kirsten, I knew of a lady, her mother had died from breast cancer and her sister had it. Now, the sister didn't die. So she made the decision to have the two breasts taken off, although there was nothing there for any reason. A, is that a bit extreme? And B, would that automatically say, well, then she had no hope of getting breast cancer?
Well, that's a really fantastic question and one many families across Australia have to grapple with. What we know is that around 5% of breast cancers are caused by a genetic mutation. We also think that there's a whole lot of genetic mutations we don't understand yet. But what we do know is that some families where they have a high rate of breast cancer, then some people who have not yet been diagnosed consider what's called a prophylactic mastectomy. And they're really important decisions to make. We really encourage people to have good conversations with a trusted GP and other medical professionals before making that decision. Because I think people do overestimate the family history. But we also know that for many people, that making that decision to have your breasts removed can take out a lot of anxiety around the fear of having breast cancer. And it is, you know, it's what we need to do. We need to make sure that we understand we're empowered with all the information we've got to make really good decisions for your own personal experience.
All right. So let's now go down. We've got a lady listening today, we'll say, and she went and had her mammogram 2 or 3 weeks ago. This is made up. I'm making it up on the spot, as you can probably guess. So she's now got a letter to go back, and so she's really worried. So I want to take this down a bit further. First of all, what are the chances that it might not be? But secondly, if it is, then what's the process? So I'd like to take a bit of the scare tactic, or not scare tactics, but the scare out of what would happen, please, Kirsten.
Yeah, so the very first thing I'm going to say is if you get called back, know that for many people it will be nothing. But what is difficult is you don't know, even if I tell you the statistics, you don't know if you're going to be the one that does have breast cancer.
Could be 1 in 100 and you could be it.
Correct. And, you know, I think that's the real challenge. But the very first thing I would say, the first tip I would give you is take someone with you no matter what. Because what we do know is if you are told you have breast cancer on that day, you'll hear those words and you'll hear nothing else. Yet a whole lot of information is given to you at that time of different things you need to do. So if it happens through breast screen, you'll be told to go back to you and to have a discussion with them about, you know, whether you should go public or private, and you'll be asked to make a whole lot of decisions very early on, and you want to share that load with someone. So whether it's your partner, a family member, or someone, you know, that you trust to go, and their only job is to take notes for you, those notes will be invaluable because at that moment in time, you make really important decisions. And I do want to say that I think many people in Australia underestimate the enormous contribution our public hospitals make to the treatment and care for cancer patients. So for some people, they'll be told, oh, if you go private, you'll be seen straight away. That is simply not the case when it comes to cancer in Australia. You'll be seen immediately through the public system, and you'll get to make just as many good and wise decisions through the public health system as you will privately. There are advantages, of course, of going private around not needing to be waiting around, seeing the same doctor all the time. But at that moment in time when you're making those decisions, they are financial decisions, which often people don't want to talk about. When they hear they've got cancer, they're like, I just want the cancer out. I just want to get this done quickly. But there are long-term financial consequences to any cancer diagnosis in Australia. So I really encourage people to ask good questions about finances and don't be afraid to talk about finances with your treating team.
That's fair.
So then you'll be, then from that point of choosing where you want to go for treatment, then you'll have some more tests to find out a bit more detail about the type of breast cancer you have. Breast cancer is not one type of cancer. There are, in fact, hundreds of different types of breast cancer. And what you'll get is a pathology report, and that report will give clear indications to you and your treating team about what kind of treatment you have and the order of the treatment that you have. So for some people with breast cancer, you might have surgery and radiotherapy. You might only have surgery. You might have chemo first, then surgery, then radiotherapy. So everyone is, their breast cancer treatment is tailored to the type of breast cancer they have. And things have changed a lot. So my other big tip is, even if your neighbor had cancer 5 years ago, their experience won't be the same as yours.
Oh, right.
You can thank them for their feedback, but I would suggest you look at the path and journey you want to go on and make decisions that are right for you and your family and your situation, because we have a lot of well-intentioned friends at the time when our lives are turned upside down. So I want people to go to trusted sources, and they're places like Breast Cancer Network Australia. So our job is to really provide information and support to you so that you can make the right decisions that are best for you with the latest trusted information. So that's my other tip. Don't go to Google.
Oh, no, don't go to Google. Kirsten, is any of the cancers that we're talking about a bit like prostate cancer, where if it's later in life, they just leave it and they just monitor it? Or with breast cancer, is it, it's got to come out or, and be treated?
It's less likely in breast cancer to be left. However, you know, as I said, everyone's experience is totally different. And what we really want is for patients, the person being diagnosed, to be part of the decision-making process. And so for some people, they may decide that in their life right now, treatment's not what they want to do. But for other people, they might want everything thrown at it. And so that's what we want to do, give you information. Come to bcna.org.au, get the information, ask the questions of your clinicians, and be really active in your treatment decisions so that they're the best for you.
Kirsten, all right, so the lady, we'll mainly talk about ladies, but it can be men. So all of a sudden they've been told they've got breast cancer, so they've been going to all these specialists, but they're finding themselves a bit lost. And as you say, it's not a lot of good talking to the lady next door because, you know, things have changed. So she wants to get hold of someone. So this is where your organisation comes in. So what can you do or how can you help to support the person?
Yeah, so BCNA steps in as early as people want, and I would encourage people who are newly diagnosed with early or metastatic breast cancer to reach out to us. And we have a helpline, and our job really on that helpline is to have very experienced staff who can help you navigate the system, because one of the real challenges is navigating the system, of knowing what kind of services are available, because there's obviously the services and treatment that are available in hospitals. But some people want more, some people want less. So some people want more information. Other people want to find and connect someone who else has been diagnosed with breast cancer, and we can help people do that as well. We've got this incredible online network. And the thing that I love most about the online network is often people will feel most alone in the middle of the night. And we have this online network where it's one of the links is called It's Dark Outside, another one's called It's Midnight. And it's where women and men who've been diagnosed can ask questions of each other. And what I love is that you pretty much get an answer very fast, because there are so many other people like you who are lying in bed at night worried about things.
Even sort of really late. Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you. Even though it is midnight, 1 o'clock.
Totally, because that's, you know, in that darkness, in that quiet, that's when your mind starts going. And I think what people really underrepresent in breast cancer or any kind of cancer is that there's the treatment aspect, and that's the physical aspect, but the emotional impact is enormous. And for family and friends, a really big tip is that when someone's going through treatment, we know that family and friends are there. They're dropping off the meals, they're picking up kids, they're taking you to treatment. But often when treatment finishes is when the emotional side of the impact comes to the woman or man who's been diagnosed. And that's often when we need our family and friends even more. And so we have a big part of that online network where people go, you know, I've just finished treatment. All of a sudden the doctors have stopped. I don't have all the appointments in my diary. I've got to go back to work, but I'm not feeling like I was or should be feeling. And it's what we call a new normal, because it's really difficult for people to ever see their life in the same way after their life's been turned upside down with a breast cancer diagnosis.
But they, but they could go back to normal, couldn't they, in a lot of ways?
Well, yeah, and it's a new normal. You see life in a really different way. You know, your family see you in a different way. Your parents see you in a different way. And so you've kind of got to re-navigate some of your relationships, re-navigate work. You know, for people who've been through chemo, they will talk about a really long-term chemo fog where they feel like they can't multitask like they used to. So they have to start doing things differently in their life. And they will find a new rhythm, but we've got to support them in doing that. And I think people underestimate once that treatment's finished is often the time when you need to go around to a mate's place and have a cup of tea and just say, are you all right? Is there anything else you need? And just sit and listen and really be present with them. And I think that will go a million miles to helping people recover after a breast cancer diagnosis.
Well, I suppose the unfortunate part, well, I guess while you're going through treatment, you can get your answers fairly quick because you're going to doctors all the time and specialists and all that. But I guess once they've finished, then you really fall back on your own. And I guess it's a bit like when there's a death in the family or something, everybody runs around with casseroles, like you said, they do everything. And then after a while, everybody gets back to doing their own thing and all of a sudden the person's left by themselves, aren't they?
Exactly. And I think, you know, our helpline, people can call our helpline at any time, and so that they, at any time of their diagnosis. So at the early stages, people have lots of practical questions. And then at the end stages, people have the more emotional stuff. And we've got this incredible podcast with a psycho-oncologist who has 10 episodes who really take you through the emotional understanding of a breast cancer diagnosis, but also give you practical tips of what to do in the middle of the night, you know, how to talk to friends, how to start dressing differently, because if you've had, you know, both your breasts removed and you haven't had reconstruction, how do you try and see yourself and be able to look at yourself in a mirror and not be reminded about breast cancer every day? How do you kind of move on? And it's really important that BCNA provides that support for people too.
And I guess while we were talking at the very start about partners, I guess this is where partners come into it too, doesn't it? That they need the support, particularly if it's a lady, or it could be either, they need to still let them see that to them they're still the same person, that they're not a lesser person.
Totally. And for some partners, it's really hard to know what to do. And I think naturally we all want to fix it, right? We want to take the pain away. We would rather it be us than them.
Yep.
We have less control over the situation than the person who's going through it. And so it can be very challenging for people who have someone really close to them that they love and adore to know what to do. And so BCNA is also there for those people. And, you know, people can call our helpline no matter who they are to ask for help and advice. I'm going to give you one very practical advice, and for those people listening, and I don't want you to feel bad if you've done it before, but if someone you love's been diagnosed with breast cancer, don't drop off a spaghetti bolognese, because everyone does.
Do they?
Everyone drops off a spag bol or a lasagna. So my advice is think about some other recipes that might be helpful for people, you know, a quiche or something that's a little bit different that that isn't spag bol. And particularly for young women who've got kids, what I've learned over the 15 years, 16 years at BCNA is kids only like their own parents' spag bol.
Do they?
So, you know, give the kids the sausage rolls and party pies and things like that that can really help out the family at a critical time.
Fair too. All right, just the helpline, is that manned by professionals or is it manned by people who have already been through the experience themselves?
A bit of both, actually. Sadly, when you work at BCNA, you're not immune to breast cancer either. So we've had a number of our staff who've gone on to have breast cancer. They are all professionals who know how to navigate the system nationally, so that, you know, where there might be very local services that are available, WIG libraries or support groups where you could go and meet other people face to face. So we can really connect you in with anything that's going to be right for you to help you navigate through the system.
Kirsten, is there anything that a lady in particular can do to try and ward off breast cancer? Is there some things that you know that they shouldn't be doing?
Well, the very first thing that we know is that early detection works, and so therefore breast screen works. And so largely in Australia, women over the age of 50 are invited to participate in breast screen, and we really encourage people to do that. What many people don't know is that actually you are able to go to breast screen from 40 to 50, 40 plus, and that's for every 2 years unless we know that you have a greater risk of breast cancer, and therefore we do more regular screenings. So there's kind of and that's really for people who are well. So there's no symptoms. We're just monitoring and looking under the skin at the breast tissue to see if there's anything. But there are also other risk factors that we know for people. So family history, which we talked about before, any changes to the breast, we need people to go and see someone. There's some emerging research around alcohol and the impact that alcohol will have on breast cancer. We also know the later you have your children, the more increased risk of breast cancer that you have. But to be honest, the greatest risk you have in Australia is being a woman. And so that's why
that's a bit harsh.
Exactly. So that's why we need to be vigilant. We need to prioritise ourselves and really make sure that we are keeping up with our screening, but also any systems and changes going to see. And, you know, walking with our mates about it and saying, hey, have you had your breast screen? So if today's, if our discussion today, I can guarantee you people will be going, oh, my God, I haven't booked that appointment. Stop everything and prioritise you and go and book your appointment, because you will not regret it.
I'm also hoping that some of the partners are listening too, so that they will go home tonight or turn to the lady or the guy, particularly the lady, and said, well, have you had it? Because as I said right at the very start, I think they play a part in it. And let's be honest, if something happens and it's not detected and the worst happens, like you're going to lose a loving partner and maybe a mother of your children. So it's really, I think, very important that the partner also, don't badger her, but just keep on just keep nudging along and make sure she does have them. And I know, and we've just said this a bit earlier, that because of COVID, a lot of people didn't do it.
Yeah, and we want people to go as early as possible. But so the other beautiful thing that's happening right now, right across the country, but in the Yarra Valley as well, we've got these amazing partners through Baker's Delight, and the Pink Bun campaign is happening right now. And that is also encouraging people to talk about breast cancer, to get connected, and that will be a trigger for many people to go and look after their support. So I can't thank all of the bakeries in the Yarra Valley for all their support for that as well, because I don't think there'll be people we'll never meet. But this conversation today, that the Pink Bun campaign is helping to really trigger people and get them to go and prioritise them. It's just something we're not very good at doing, but we need to do that as quickly as possible.
Can you see that?
Yeah, the bakers. Alan is a baker's champion.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've just had an email this morning telling me that I could get those buns, so I should do something about it.
Perfect. We need everyone to 100% of the buns comes to BCNA, so the bakeries.
Oh, it's not 10%, it's a whole lot.
The whole lot. So, you know, the bakeries, Hillsville, Eltham, all of them are baking. Their bakeries and the franchisees are covering their own costs. So 100% comes to BCNA so that we can be there the day that someone is diagnosed, for not just them, but for their family and for their friends. And, I don't think we should ever underestimate the impact that a cancer diagnosis has on the whole family, not just, you know, the person diagnosed, and we know the impact that it can have significantly on kids. So really, I want people to know that Breast Cancer Network Australia is there for everyone, workmates, community, sporting groups, everyone. We are there to help you navigate what is a really tricky time for everyone.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that because we only sort of glossed over it a bit at the start, but and saying that friends can. So it doesn't matter who's involved, whether it's children, like the parents, siblings or whatever it can be, anybody can ring and get to talk to not a recorded message, but to a person.
Totally. And we have other resources that are for children about how to talk about your diagnosis with your child. Please, please, I beg everyone out there, don't hide cancer from children. They work it out. They hear the whispers. And actually what happens is by not telling them, you're actually increasing their fear, and they often will think that they've done something wrong. So we provide a lot of resources about talking to kids, about being honest and open at a time that's right, in an age group that's right for them. So a lot of our resources are there for the whole family, for your friends, for your workmates, because it can be just as hard being at work with someone who's in treatment to know what to say. And what can often happen is people just stop talking. That's the worst thing you can do.
And then they start to feel a bit like there's something wrong with them, don't they, because you're not talking to them.
Totally. And you know what makes me so sad, Alan, is, you know, I've been around a long time, is how many people still talk about their family and friends not reaching out. And it's not because they don't want to. It's because they don't know what to do, what to say, how to say it. They don't want to put their foot in their mouth. And so those people, if you're that person, if you've got a friend who's been diagnosed, you want to do something but you're not sure, then we can help you on our helpline to do that as well. But, you know, a card means the world to people. And I know our founder, Lynn Swinburne, who started BCNA in 1998, she still has every single card she was ever sent from her time of being diagnosed. They mean, those little gestures mean a whole lot to people.
I do have Kirsten with me from the Breast Cancer Network of Australia. Kirsten, we've been talking a lot about it. Unfortunately, our time is fast coming to an end, but can you give us some contact details for people who have been listening, and emphasise that it doesn't have to be the person from that's suffering from the cancer or being diagnosed? If you could give us some details, please.
So you can call Breast Cancer Network Australia on our helpline, which is 1-800-500-258, or you can go to our website at bcna.org.au and navigate all of our resources. Everything is there, including that online network we talked about earlier. Our job is to make sure we can get you into the services and the support that it is right for you. So anyone can call, and we will send you through the right information that's for you. And I just want to, if there is anyone out there who has been diagnosed themselves or is supporting someone as a loved one, I just want to send you our greatest love and say that we will be here for you. And some days will be great and other days will be hard. And there are people with early breast cancer. There's people who are living with incurable breast cancer. And we are going to be there for all of you, no matter who you are. And we will do everything we can to make sure that your breast cancer experience is the best that it can be.
Kirsten, apart from the helpline, which is there all 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, are there local support groups as well?
There are hundreds of support groups right around Australia, and one of the silver linings of COVID has been many have moved online so that they can still meet. Yep. But also there's support groups right around the country who meet for cups of tea, others that are more formalised, and bring people together. So if you call our helpline, they will find a support group that's right for you. And, you know, that number again is 1-800-500-258, and those people can support you. The other thing you can do, Alan, is head into your Baker's Delight, which you're going to do this afternoon. And you'll get information there about how to link in with BCNA.
Kirsten, look, it's been great to have you. one of the things that I wanted to do today, which we've done, is encourage the ladies to go and have their mammograms. We particularly want the partners to get involved, and just a little gentle prod. And the other thing too is to understand that if they're sitting in a doctor's surgery and they've told they've got cancer, is that there are, it's not the end of the world. There is going to be life down the track.
Yeah, and we are going to help you to navigate that system. So it's fantastic to be able to give this opportunity to talk to the community, and communities are essential in helping people to rebuild. So thank you so much. It's been awesome to spend an hour with you and for my favourite songs to be on.
Kirsten, I've unfortunately got to go, but thank you for your time. And I would like to perhaps check in with you late in the year again just to reemphasise what we've done today.
I would love that.
We certainly will. Thanks, Kirsten.
Thanks so much.
All the best. Bye.